Good morning, everyone. We're going to go ahead and get started. We're on our work session for May 6th. Clerk, would you please call the roll?
Mr. Ringstad.
Here.
Mr. Marnie.
I'm here.
Ms. Tidwell.
She's here. So.
Here.
Ms. Sprinkle.
Here.
Ms. Therrien.
Here.
Mr. Cleworth.
Here.
Mayor Pruz is absent.
First item we have is resolution number 5173, authorizing the City of Fairbanks to participate in the Alaska Public Risk Alliance Joint Insurance Arrangement. We have the honor of having Mr. Hale with us this morning. Why don't you come on forward and tell us why this is such a bad idea?
Okay. Good morning. Well, first of all, I'll start off with kind of what's going on in the marketplace right now. There, in the state of Alaska, there's two insurance pools that pretty much write, they write almost the majority of all the cities and schools in the state of Alaska. One was AMLJIA, and the other one is the Alaska Public Entity Insurance Group, APEI. The two of them have been kind of talking for several years now about combining forces and making one entity, one pool. There's pros and cons to doing that. It takes away an option, one of our options, obviously. If one of them gets out of control with their rates, then I don't have somewhere else to go. What they were fighting is reinsurance issues. There's only so much capacity in the reinsurance market right now, and they were both bucking up against that. By combining forces, they're actually going to be able to be stronger and be able to have more buying power because of the combination of the two entities. So when all said and done, it looks like it has passed. They are going to merge together this year. So our first year will be, it's called AMPRA, will be our first year with this particular pool. I did have some good news a couple of days ago. I was talking with a friend of mine that's very involved in the reinsurance part of the buying for the pool itself, and they had really favorable reinsurance terms. We were really concerned about that because, you know, the losses haven't been great on either side, and we were really worried that the reinsurance market was still going to be hard and really stick it to the new entity because it was a new entity. But they actually got some pretty fair. Well, we have not seen rates yet come through, but we did get a little bit of good news on that end of it. I'll just hit a few of the highlights of what they did. Basically, was they took the good from both and said, okay, we have higher limits here. AML has higher limits here. We're going to use the one that has the best coverage for line item by line item throughout the insurance. So we went down each line and said, okay, your program is stronger than ours. That's the one we'll use for the AMPRA. So that's kind of how they formed it, kind of the best of the best, and went to it. And then they're now, obviously, they're out in the marketplace trying to place the coverage. Probably the biggest highlights that I would say is they both were on a replacement cost basis and margins. We've had a real issues more on the, I would say, the school side of things of getting the districts to insure their buildings to value, to replacement value in today's replacement costs. A lot of them haven't been bumping their limits up. We try to, there's just no money out there, so they don't want to do it. Well, they've been caught in a situation where then they've had big losses and there's no money. They were way underinsured. So there's been a hard push the last few years to get all these cities and schools on their buildings to make sure they're up to a replacement value of today's replacement cost, which is not cheap. It's going to, you know, it hurts, and that it's, there's a lot of premium dollars that go there that comes out of their budget. So we pretty much have gotten through, I think, the most painful part of that and have gotten them. One of the things we were able to talk them into doing as well is a lot of these schools and cities both have buildings that they don't use. They're just basically mothballed, but by statute, they're required to still insure them of some sort. Well, we came up with basically a functional replacement cost, which is basically just enough to pay for the debris removal if something happens to that building, because that's a huge liability on the city or the school to have to get rid of that building. So the new APRA agreed to do some kind of an agreed value, if you will, that says, okay, this at least will cover the cost to remove the building and the hazard that could be there. So if we have buildings that are mothballed, we don't have to insure them to full replacement cost. We can come up with an agreed value from both parts. So that was really good. Earthquake and flood coverage was pretty much standard with both of them. The one had a 100 million limit. The other one had 75. They went with a $150 million limit on that. So no real change in that end of it. Probably the biggest coverages that had us concerned would be, we don't have a whole lot of ocean marine up here, but there is some areas there where we'll probably have to place excess coverage for like City of Valdez and some of those for some of the ocean marine exposures that they have. One of the other nice things, they were on the fire departments. This particular company, if we have a fire truck that's within, I believe, 5 years, they will cover it for replacement costs versus actual cash value, which is huge because, as you guys very well know, fire trucks are very, very expensive, and I paid for two of them this year through some of our volunteers. So very expensive, and even if we have to send them out to get fixed, it's, you know, we're looking at $500,000. So that was one of the areas that I was real pleased to see them go with. And the other one was vacant buildings. Vacant buildings, they will pick up the vacant building, but they won't pick up for vandalism or theft in the building. And then there is a reduction in the property value. So if we have any vacant buildings, it's really important that we keep good security on them and good eye on them and have them being checked on a regular basis to make sure we don't have any attractive nuisance going on within those buildings. Let's see, the other one, the automatic limit that they're going to go to is 15 million. One of the pools was only 10. The other pool was 15. They will go to a 15 million total limit. That one really depends above. That's pretty much on the police and professional, the standard limit will be $1 million, but we can buy optional purchase additional limits, and I highly recommend that we look at doing that when we get the numbers coming in and have them give us an optional limit. $1 million just doesn't cover enough anymore, as you well know. Data processing, nothing. Failure to supply utilities, we don't really have that anymore. Fireworks are excluded, and it always has been, and I always want to bring that up because a lot of times, if we're going to do a fireworks show, as long as we have the vendor doing it, providing a certificate of insurance to the city, then it falls under their coverage, is not ours. And again, we've had claims where people are out there and they come back on the city because they don't know who the vendor was. So real important that we get certificate of insurance, name of the city as additional insured on those. They'll also pick up the medical malpractice as long as they're not excluded for malpractice of a doctor or one of them. The doctors need to have their own malpractice. This is for secondary EMT, Joe Blow citizen that's going out there to render aid and give aid. There is coverage for that person under this policy. One of the other highlights I had here, SAMS coverage is a big one, and they are giving us limits to buy back SAMS coverage with structural harassment or sexual molestation. We do have an option to buy, I think it comes in at a standard of $1 million, and we can buy upper limits if we need to, and we'll look at giving you a quote on that as well when we get to it. One of the other things is the members, which is you guys, is members of the governing body are covered by work comp and employer liability, where in the past one of them picked it up, the other one did not. So now they'll all be picked up under a voluntary basis. Out-of-state work comp, anybody that's working out-of-state that they're permanently resident out of, that they're going to be at, we have to buy coverage in that state for that individual. So the fact that they're working for the city of Fairbanks and they're going to go live in Montana, we need to go buy coverage through the state of Montana. So,
Mr. Clearworth, can I ask a question real quick?
No.
Is that something you can help us with?
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
Thank you.
Yeah, we can place those coverages as well for you. Yes. Yeah. Because even though they're being paid out of the state of Alaska, if they're permanently resident out of another state, we have to buy work comp for them and you have to pay, if there's a sales tax within our, a tax within that state, you have to pay for it. Yeah. My daughter lives in California, works remotely for me, and I give her a hard time all the time about it because I have to go through so many hoops to pay her out of California and all the other training I have to go through because of it. I said, boy, I don't know if you're worth it. Yeah.
That's a no-no for us.
Right, right.
California, New York.
There you go. So, yeah, but that's really important because we have had people going remotely living and then we find out later that, oh, I've got somebody down in, and if they got hurt, technically, in their own home, it's going to come back. It could be back if they were doing work for us. So those are basically what the major changes are in the AMPRA. There is a contract that they'll want us to sign, and it's called a cooperative participation agreement. Same thing we did with AML. All of them require these to be signed that says you're going to be part of the pool and what our regulations and stipulations are of being part of that pool. Like I said, we have not seen any prelim underwriting yet on where our numbers are coming in. We're just now getting all the applications into them. I'm hoping we'll start seeing numbers coming out any day now. Now that that last piece of reinsurance is taken care of, that's the biggest thing. And especially this year with them being new, we really want these numbers as early as we can get them back in so we can go back to them and see if there's any questions or concerns that we have in them.
Okay, thank you. Now we'll take questions. Sue, you're in.
Okay, so maybe it's because I haven't had coffee, but first of all, I don't know who you are.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm David Hale. I'm with Hale & Associates. I've been the broker for the city
ever.
30 ever. Okay. Plus years.
Thank you.
Yeah, sorry.
And you say, well, I guess, who is they, air quotes, and who is the we us?
We are the city of Fairbanks,
okay.
And they are AMPRA. Which is the Alaska Public Risk Alliance.
Okay,
that we're going to be moving to it.
All that. Okay, so we mentioned something about replacement value for buildings.
Mm-hmm.
Do we consider contamination in any of that?
No,
pollution's
excluded. So within that, there would be no coverage for pollution coverage. If it's
that just comes as a fun surprise.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. You said something about sexual molestation for. Yeah. Coverage of our own employees? Is that what that's
it's,
for?
It's for anybody. It's not just limited to children. It's anybody that is sexually assaulted, sexually harassed. It's called SAMS coverage, sexual assault molestation.
Okay, gosh. I'm learning right here. And the extra money we have to pay for an out-of-state employee who lives remotely would be something we add on top of whatever it is we pay for their...
Correct.
So that's a hidden cost we didn't know we had?
Right.
Wow. And ultimately, who gives us that number? You
do? We would get the information, the payroll, what state that individual's in, and then go to that state and buy a policy for you.
Okay. Thank you. That's fine.
It'd be a standalone policy.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
John?
Vacant buildings. We're kind of working on things to do with vacant buildings because we have a lot of them. We're also working on some of our abated properties, which some have and some probably will come into our ownership. Now, I don't know how that's gonna affect, but we probably ought to have you pay attention to what we're trying to do with, we have one piece that we're working on. So we have a registry of vacant buildings just so we know squatters in them. You know, we know who's somebody can, our folks can kind of pay attention to them. The second related to that, removal coverage in some of our abated buildings. If we take a property back to take it in our ownership, tax foreclosures, I mean, we're either going to clean it up and get rid of it most of the time or clean it up and tear it down, right?
Right.
Does that come in as something that should be on our books as it's probably, I mean, the hope would be we're short-term ownership here, but
right.
But it's different than City Hall, right?
Right. The only way that policy would trigger is if there was a covered cause of loss. So if there was a fire in that building or something to that nature. Then
we usually get them after the fires.
Yeah. Right? So if there wasn't a fire that triggered the loss, there would be nothing for the debris removal to happen. So right. There's still got to be a covered cause of loss on the policy in order to trigger the debris removal.
So if we take a property back, and when we go to remove it, that's not in our removal insurance, right?
No, correct.
Because that's all pre-ownership.
Correct.
Gotcha.
Ellery?
Dave, when you say reinsurance, is mm-hmm. that just reissuing the policy again?
Or yeah,
is that
what, a different what it is term? Is AMPRA, we'll call it, say AMPRA. AMPRA right now is going to take a certain layer of the insurance. So let's say they're going to take the first $1 million. And then we have $15 million, and then in property we have probably over $200 million plus that we have to get coverage on. Well, they can't. There's no way the pool could afford to pick that up. So what we do is we go and buy insurance on top of their insurance and layer it. So there'll be about probably three carriers over the top of them to make up that layering to pick up a piece of each of it. So one carrier might take 25% of the risk. Another carrier may take 25, another, so we layer it, and that's the reinsurance layering that we do. And a lot of that will go even on the liability side. We've gotten to where the carriers, even in the standard markets, don't want more than $5 million of any one risk. So I've got one account that I write that I have eight carriers on it just to get up to the $50 million limit I need.
Margarita, what is our bill this year for AML, JIA, for coverage?
I've got it right here if you'd like.
We paid close to $2 million last year. And we have not, as he mentioned, seen the bill for 25/26.
That all comes out of claims and judgments, all of it?
Not all of it. General insurance is the only part that comes out of the general fund, and there's a transfer from the general fund. And last year, that was over $160,000.
So on top of AML-JIA, do we have any other insurance?
Yes, you do. You have insurance for those that work out of state. Yes. And that was brought to you in a work session, I want to say almost 2 years ago. Before we started, you may not have been on the council at the time, before we started hiring out-of-state workers, that was one of the points that was brought to this body's attention, that there would be additional insurance.
Okay, David, let's say we go, I'm picking Jeremiah here, we don't want to insure our public works building. We think it's pretty darn safe for this reason and this reason and all that. We want to exempt that from the policy. Do we have the option to do that?
You would have to, if it's within your statute to do it, yes, but because there's nothing in our policy that says you have to. It would just be a statute either by you or the state of Alaska. Like on schools, the state of Alaska has a statute that they have to insure their buildings because the Department of Education is coming from. But I don't believe the cities have that same. So that'd be a question as a city attorney. But yeah, you can't, if it's not required, then we are absolutely okay to not insure some of the buildings.
I mean, it's, well, I mean, I'm thinking like the fire station. It's occupied 24 hours a day. Chances of a thing catching on fire and burning to the ground are pretty remote, I would think. What? But I'm just saying, If times get really tough, can you tailor the plan to save some money? You're going to take some risk, but some of that risk is, you know, in the business world, we take risks. Very risky. That's called life. Valerie.
Margarita, I understand that we have to pay workers' comp for someone that works out of state, but does the rest of the policy cover them, or is a completely different policy besides workers' comp?
It is, we have to pay workers' comp as well as any and taxes that state requires.
Okay, just workers' comp and taxes.
Yes.
Okay.
But workman's comp isn't covered under claims and judgments.
Yes, workers' comp. A big piece of your $2 million, over half of that is for workers' compensation.
Oh, okay. We're skating here.
Yeah, $1,187,746 is work comp.
Jerry, on the workers' comp, David, this is a memory quiz for me. The state, excuse me, a number of years ago was changing our workers' comp so our employees that were out of state weren't getting Alaska workers' comp rates. They're getting the wherever they lived worker comp rates.
Right.
So when we're buying workers' comp for them in their states, it's based on their wage scales, not ours.
That was challenged, and the last case we had on that, they had the right to either claim under Alaska or their jurisdiction that they were living in.
Who had the choice? The insurance?
The injured employee.
Really?
One last question for me. Terrorism is exempt?
You can exempt terrorism, and I usually encourage you to exempt terrorism, but it is built in, and you can buy terrorism if you want coverage. No, it'd have to be on a part of a third party, a foreign body, and over, I think, 5 or 10 million now in loss, and declared a terrorist act by the Secretary of State.
I mean, we've had bomb threats at the city before, fortunately none serious, but let's say one was, we would not be covered for that.
No, not unless it was on behalf of a foreign party that wasn't a local terrorist.
A local bro would not be.
No.
So Tom's job is to prove that they're a foreigner.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's close enough.
Anyone else?
Yeah.
Sue.
So, did I understand then, Margarita, that the workman's comp million-ish is coming out of the $2 million that we pay AMPRA? It's not on top of.
Oh, it's yeah.
It's part of.
It's a part of the $2 million, the 1.2 million, yes.
Okay, so then you're the broker for the workman's comp as well. Okay.
Yes. Yep.
It was just.
I cover all lines. I cover general liability, work comp, auto, property, boiler machinery, equipment, police professional, and cyber.
For all, you do this for all of everything for the city?
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
The only thing we don't do is your health care.
Lonnie?
So will our rates go up or down?
I don't know. With the losses that the city had and that AML paid out, that's going to have a big factor in this. So my gut's telling me it's going to go up. We took a pretty big hit last year with it, and that was before the second suit came about. So I'm going to tell you, yeah, you're probably looking at an increase. They haven't even given me a clue yet. And once I have one city or school in, then I'll kind of have an idea what their rating is. I can back into it. But until then, I won't. I really have no clue. I was just happy to hear their reinsurance negotiations went well, because that's going to have a big impact.
We don't really have much option here, do we? They're joining.
Right.
They're merging. So we either stick with it.
And we don't, we've looked at outside markets as well, because I was really concerned they weren't going to insure the city at all with everything that's gone on. So I was really in a panic mode trying to find markets, and there's nobody out there that's going to touch this at this point. So our only option is AMPRA and
our self-insurance.
And one of the individuals that was really, really not a friend that didn't want them to renew you is retired. So that's going to help us a lot.
Sue.
So you work with the borough as well, I take
yes.
it? The borough's self-insured, isn't it?
They do a little different. They're not in the pool. They self-insure up to a certain percentage, then I buy reinsurance over the top of that for them. So they are basically
mixed.
And we looked at them at one point being part of this, and they're just too big for this program. It would just be the tail wagging the dog on this thing. It just wouldn't work for there'd be if there was ever a big loss, it would just sink the whole program. And so it makes no sense for them to be in there. So the I would say North Star Borough, Anchorage, can't remember if Kenai did or not. Valdez is kind of a combination, but yeah, the larger municipalities and cities are not part of it.
Yeah.
North Pole is. I said Valdez is part, some of it, but it's kind of, we split out some of the properties in the because of the marine activities and stuff there.
Thank you, David.
Yeah.
Appreciate
it. Any other questions? All right. Well, thank you guys. And as soon as we get numbers, I will be in touch with you for sure. So.
Yeah.
Dave, when do we have to sign this agreement by?
I believe before we bind is the only thing I remember them saying. So, but probably the sooner we can get it signed, the better.
We have to sign this resolution.
Yeah, it's just there's a draft resolution that they give you on them.
And so. What is the date that our last?
What's that? Oh, you did. Oh, okay. Oh, there it is, yeah.
And when does our the end date for our coverage right now?
June 30. July 1 is the July 1 is your 12:01 a.m. July 1, your coverage goes into a place or expires.
Okay. So we don't have a lot of time.
No, I mean, the question is going to be, what's that bill look like?
Yeah,
and if you're going to fully insure or partially insure what the council city wants
and if
to do.
You know, this we can do this agreement, and then if the numbers don't come in favorably, we can just pull it. We can cancel that at any time. We won't turn that into them until we bind coverage.
Again, thank you.
You bet. Anytime. Thanks. You too. Get all these done, Will. Thank you, guys.
Jerry, I need to be excused for about
5 minutes. Go ahead. Okay, item number 3 is ordinance 6313, ordinance amending Fairbanks General Code to include paid parental leave eligibility for employees who have given birth. Mike, do you want to do that one?
Yeah, I can do that. This one's pretty simple. You know, we already have a medical maternity leave and paid parental leave. The problem is the medical maternity leave has a pretty high threshold to for the ladies that have given birth to be able to apply for that. So if you have an uncomplicated pregnancy and birth, then they don't qualify for MMLA or MML. But they also, the way our code is written, don't qualify for paid paternal leave. So their significant other could get leave, but they couldn't, and they were the ones that had the baby. So all I suggested was, or that we, the policy committee suggested was that we add the line, be an employee who has given birth to the paid parental leave, and then everything will be fine.
Everything will be fine.
Yeah. We've encountered this multiple times over the years, and the past practice has been to give that mother the paid parental leave anyway. So we're just fixing an error that happened. This was a part of a much bigger section that came in all at once. So I think it was probably just an oversight. And the way the rest of that code is written, it looks like as if it was written that the mom could get paid parental leave already. It just wasn't spelled out in the eligibility requirements.
Any questions?
It's just housekeeping.
Exactly, yep.
Okay, we'll move on then. Item 3. Ordinance number 6285, amending Fairbanks General Code, regarding economic development property tax rebate and enacting section 7437, tax incentive for property development, redevelopment, or renovation. And this has been going on about a year. So I will turn that over to the sponsors. If you want, Sue, do you have something?
I have been working in league with others, doing a little bit of footwork for me. And they've been asking builders, others who are involved with something like this, what potential hurdles they see. We actually had one of our finance members throw in some recommendations. So I've got a small bulleted list of potential changes that I'd love to bring to the council, but maybe tuck it into something that is a little more ordinance friendly. So with John's help, maybe, and Mike, I hope to bring something back to you is either a completely separate piece that has these changes in it, or I will add a couple amendments, but I just feel like we're close to something that would be really, really helpful, but not ready for prime time yet.
John.
We had have had discussions with the borough, and they're looking at doing the same thing on a parallel track, assuming that that would probably happen in June, right? June? So we could get their incentives going with ours, making it a little more inviting for investment. But that was kind of the discussion we had. We're getting close, and I guess I would be looking for input from anybody that has thoughts so we can get this thing cleaned up and ready to go by June.
Questions for the two of you. I was checking the city emails the other day, and I saw the email from Downtown Association, and I think they did a survey, is that correct?
Yes.
And there's some, I printed out the answers from that survey. Are you incorporating some of that? It not, or what's going on?
Recommendations, and I think too, the caveat was we as the DTA, the Downtown Association, sent it out to known names for some builders, some bankers, some design, architects. So it's not a giant swath of input. We had maybe six returned surveyors, I guess. And then I got this list again from Downtown Association. I think everybody got this email, maybe. Anyway, so I think that, yes, Jerry, we're looking to use part of that information as well. I mean, do you want me to read some of the bullet points? Is that helpful here?
I didn't have a chance to get into it last night. I saw it at 5:30 and I was running out the door.
But okay. Well, yeah, there were some very wise recommendations.
I think that, the gist I got was they're liberalizing it a lot, making it more expansive.
Yeah. I think we're just trying to light a flame, get people interested, and maybe not just the big rollers, but people who are, out of pocket. It's a bit like the facade program, it's not everybody's got $50,000. So if any bit helps somebody make a better, house, business, if it helps, I think that's a really, really wise way to promote this piece of legislation. So we'll see. I've got more information, though.
Lonnie.
My question, and I get it asked a lot to me, is where does the city stand on the 2040 plan? I know when we sent it over to the borough with our suggestions,
they changed it.
It changed it, and then to me that went void. But maybe I'm wrong. I get asked a lot where we, what's happening with the 2040 plan? So,
go ahead, Sue.
Whether or not the city approves of the 2040 plan, because that is a nuance. I know that we have a group of people who helped put it together, trying to institute some of the changes. Nonetheless, so we're working as an ad hoc group,
Be the city side.
It's for the city, so yeah, I would say so. It's a volunteer group, so we're just doing what we can, picking stuff out of it to work with. So whether or not it's been embraced by the city,
it's the Downtown body. Association that put this group together.
Crystal.
Go ahead. Is that something, do you see that maybe coming back to us and us having the opportunity to be like, yes, what exactly is going on?
As far as I know, the borough's signed off on their version. We've got ours, and they sit side by side, basically. That's how that lives right now.
Jerry, am I right in recalling your point that that 2040 plan was the borough's thoughts that we implement, we pay for, we do all the work? I mean, basically, they're not doing
well
much. They don't implement the plan in the city. They're not. I mean, most of the recommendations, as I recall, were stuff that we handle. At that point, we're going to do what we're going to do, and the plan is kind of here or there.
I mean, what they're proposing could be done with or without a 2024 plan. Whether you follow that to the T or not is really up to the borough or the city or whoever's got a piece of the action there. But that's kind of how I look at it. It's a plan. It's like, I mean, do you remember their old plan? You must have sat on the shelf mostly. But I think, yeah.
Right, there's nothing that forces anybody to do anything, but they do use it for some design zoning, which is all that they can do in the city, the zoning. But as the group we just mentioned, we don't want to sit on a shelf. We want to use it, so we're using that as a blueprint. So whether or not anybody's paying for it, it's just us, a little bit of initiative to see something through, I guess. We just don't want to see it languish on the shelf.
And the only concern I have about any of these things is it is a revenue hit to the city down the road. We're going to not take in as much revenue as we normally would if this is adopted. And well, that penny you didn't earn this year, you'll never retrieve. You're going to get it down the road. Yeah, you're absolutely right.
But if it never happened, we wouldn't get it anyway.
There's development happening in the city right now.
We would love more.
Yeah, I mean, we always love
more. We need
more. It's, to say it's not happening, it is happening. I'm not speaking against it. I'm just saying that this would not make or break many projects, and I speak from firsthand in our family. We, you know, my daughter and son-in-law put up, I don't know, 60, 80 units in this town in the last several years, and there were no tax incentives to do it. They just did it. A lot of it in South Fairbanks and some in Hamilton Acres, and now they're looking at another huge project. But it wasn't, they didn't do it or not do it because of tax incentives.
Have they looked at this?
Huh?
Have they looked at this proposal?
I'm sure they will. I mean, if it's out there, you'd be a fool not to take advantage of it.
Well, I just wonder if they would have anything to recommend to help them make more choices like that.
Well, I'm saying they're already making the choices, and the choice is, yes, we're going forward with them.
Okay,
we're doing
good.
It.
Well, it won't keep them from doing it.
It's not stopping them from doing it.
Okay, good.
Because they don't have this. So, any other discussion? Anyway, it's on hold until you folks talk to the borough. And
we'll have another draft cleaned up sometime the next couple of weeks. So we're ready to go forward and start taking action.
Okay, so this
hearing in June
was supposed to come back on the agenda when?
May.
This coming Monday?
So we may have to postpone again.
Okay, so it's going to be on the agenda, and we'll leave it up to you folks to postpone it to the date that you want.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
Anything else? Okay, that brings us to item number 5, ordinance 6283. Amending Fairbanks General Code, Act to require that vacant buildings be secured and registered, and establishing fines for violations, so on and so forth. Do we have all kinds of sponsors on this. Who wants to speak? Do you want to do it?
Sure. I mean, we all know, we've just spoken about the vacant buildings with Dave Hale, and that the longer a building sits vacant, the more attractive it becomes to be a home for people who shouldn't be there, or just a place to get in trouble with. Just last weekend, someone decided to start a big bonfire in front of the creamery. Maybe the chief knows about that, but it...
We didn't put it out, I hope.
Apparently not. I don't know. I heard that they just drove by. So I don't understand why, you know, places like the creamery, who sat there, a horrible type of building for, 30 years maybe, and we don't have anything on the books to force people to do something about vacant properties. This hopefully will make something happen from that. It's just discouraging to think that the neighbors have to live with these properties that people just sit on them because they can.
John?
I kind of look at it, kind of two different things in this, I think. Having people register, so at least we know which ones they are, so our troops, as they're roaming around, they can see if people, here's buildings that we know are not occupied in, and see if there are actually people living in there, or spending time in there, doing whatever they're doing, and kind of flagging some of that before we get these things burning and people getting hurt. I think that's kind of one angle of this, which gives us a preventative effort. The other one, I hope it'll be a subtle. I'd rather have a subtle encouragement for people to try and use them, as opposed to, Sue and I were talking about a carrot or a stick here. I'm not real excited about using the stick approach to force people to develop their property. That's, you know, if I want to leave my money in the bank, that's my choice. But I think we can use this as saying, you know, maybe you should start thinking about that. And if we can encourage people to do something in a soft approach as opposed to heavy-handed one. That's, I'm hoping we can do that.
Yeah. Lonnie.
So this is strictly voluntary?
No.
Not
no.
Mandated?
No, they have to.
No, you have to register if you have a vacant.
That's one of the questions. What do you, in my mind, do we, how do we want to do this? Want to make it voluntary? Do we want to make it mandatory?
At this point, it is not voluntary. This is also modeled after something Anchorage has been using, because they had a problem too. Oh, yeah, okay. Very
and
good
And I
point.
Did find, and I sent it out to you, Mr. Chard, there is an Alaska squatter's law or...
Go ahead. Yeah.
As we spoke about last time, the protections are a little bit weird because the... You can do things on the trespass side, which is what you were sending. And we do criminal trespass a lot. This piece of legislation would help FPD be able to trespass people a little easier. The challenge with squatters' rights and squatters' laws is always on the civil side of the house and having to evict people that, frankly, shouldn't be there. That's where we're kind of straddling this, but this would give FPD a little bit of a tool to get people out that, you know, are not supposed to be where they're at.
Jerry?
Yeah.
I don't have any numbers on it, but I wonder if the chief does. I'd be curious to know what the percentage of a house left vacant for X number of time becomes then destroyed by fire. Yeah, it doesn't sit there for long without being troubled. So it's a concern to me. I've seen it happen in the downtown court. It's heartbreaking. And I'd love to see it stopped. Because we have so little housing, why would we want to encourage losing more? That's really where this comes from, is keeping housing viable and useful to people who really do live here in the city versus people who have maybe left. They're in Arizona. They don't know about it. Grandma doesn't think about it. It's it's just to encourage, John, it's to encourage maybe thinking about getting rid of it.
The changes that have been made here address most of my concerns, and I think it reads a lot better for the people. This is on the agenda for Monday night? No.
No, this one was, the first reading was postponed to May 19th, so on May 19th will be another first reading, basically. And then if it's advanced, it'll go to the first meeting in June.
So I guess questions for council, is there further revisions required here that you want, or let her go and we'll vote it up, vote it down?
I guess I'm at a point, I don't know on this mandatory and voluntary, I'm not sure where I land on that. But I mean, I want to hear the discussion of what the rest of the council wants to do. I can go, kind of go either way, I think. I would like the piece to go forward and start getting it in place. But I think it's...
Is this the time for the conversation, though?
Yeah, no, I mean, hearing would be a public hearing. Okay. But do we want to make changes before we put that out to be commented on? There's another piece, as I recall, in there. I haven't looked at this in a couple of minutes, about penalties for not doing something in a time frame. I guess I'm open to discussion on that, too, so I'm not sure what the group thinks, but I'm open to discussion to say, what do we want?
Valerie?
All of these vacant buildings have been sitting for a long time. They cause problems. The owners could care less about whether or not FPD or the fire department has to go and take care of them. This is going to be a wake-up call for them, mm-hmm. and they're either going to go ahead and sell them, remodel them, or let them sit vacant. But nothing is piquing these people's interest on these properties, and they're a problem for the city. And what if a bunch of people die in a fire and we could have stopped it? You know, I think we have to think about liability as well. I think this needs to be mandatory because the voluntary program has not worked. It's not worked at all. We don't get their attention. The only time we end up with a piece of this property is when we foreclose after so many years of taxes. So I really think this is a good ordinance. We'll see what the public has to say, but I have a feeling that all of the owners of these properties that sit vacant are not going to even care. And if we get their attention, I think that's good. So I hope this becomes mandatory because the voluntary process has not worked because they're not investing in any of those properties. They're not hiring property management to keep people out of them. That's my feeling.
I think that there's a validity to that, but one of the things I've heard from folks is that until downtown is cleaned up and safe to be in, they're not going to invest in downtown. They're not going to put the money out. And I think, you know, we have started that effort of cleaning up downtown and trying to make it a safer place to do that. And I think that's part of the discussion we need to get into this. But when the public doesn't feel safe going down there, then they're not going to, why would they invest money to put a business down there that nobody's going to show up at? So I think there's several pieces of the puzzle, but it's not just that they don't care. They just look at it and say, I can make more money someplace else. So, but I think that you're right. It's not working the way it is.
Lonnie?
Well, I think the last thing we want out of this thing, I like the incentives to act on your property, but the last thing I think we want is the hospital to buy more lots and let them set vacant.
Exactly. Just because they can.
Yeah.
You've seen the list of vacant properties I've put together. We need to move the needle somehow. I mean, maybe this isn't going to work, but let's try something. I guess that's where I am with this. Yeah.
There's protections in here for people, too. If you are actively trying to sell your property, then you're exempt from this. And And the problems have been, I know a lot, is with these absentee landowners that we don't know who they are, and it takes forever to try and track them down and say, well, we've got a problem with your building. Do you know it's being lived in by 30 people? Well, we shouldn't, I don't think, have to go through the great effort of finding an owner, absentee or whatever. But there's we had some concerns at the beginning, and they've been taken care of. One is, it's no cost to do this to the people the first year. If they continually do nothing and nothing, nothing, then there's a fee, I guess, every year. We could talk about that, but it's a gentle nudge, basically. It's not draconian, I don't think. Sue?
I just wonder, I'm going to ask Clerk, is this going to be onerous to your office in some way? I mean, I don't know how this is going to be set up, and what does this look like on your end? Or is it finance? I'm not sure who chases this.
I'm not really sure how it's going to pan out either. I would imagine it's more of a finance thing, but I'm not putting the ball in Margarita's court by any means. But I don't think it would have a huge impact on my office.
Or maybe Jared does it. Chase that down. Mike, can we hear from you about that?
Yeah, if I could, I think that this would probably be a bigger hit to the mayor's office than to any other department. I think we would be more responsible for tracking down these, you know, the vacant properties and doing all the enforcement on it.
May I continue?
Yeah.
You know, the whole idea about bringing Jared on was to put somebody in charge who could work through all of the departments regarding a single property. And my hope was that he would set up some sort of database that was shared, or I don't know how legal that was, but anyway, just that it would be shared for all the people to see where we were with that one property. It makes sense that he would do this.
Yeah, absolutely. And he does. We have an internal database already that I don't know that we'd want it publicly shared, but yeah.
Yeah, I think that's the right place for it in my mind, is to keep it all in one place, and would have the most, be most effective, and at the same time be probably the most influential if you're talking to somebody else, the property owners.
Okay, we'll move on. Number six, resolution number 5172, establishing a storefront improvement program, not introduced. This has got Mayor Pruse and Councilmember Sprinkle. Sue?
I'll let Mike do a fair bit of the dancing on this, but I think that, Jerry, you've seen this. We've talked about it having been done in the past, but by a different entity. I think it's just a really exciting program that could be seen soon. I mean, we could see some real changes really, really quick. So I'd love to have Mike talk about it.
Okay. Yeah, every conversation that we've had this morning, I feel like has led up to this. I mean, literally everything. You guys were talking about the 2040 plan. This is in the 2040 plan. It's on page 36. There's even a comment that says that we've been talking about for 15 years. Why haven't we done it? We talk about, you know, maybe the property tax isn't enough of an incentive. You know, maybe that rebate's not enough of an incentive. Or here's an additional incentive. You know, Mr. Ringshad talked about, you know, like, you know, that we needed to, you know, have some sort of incentive to get some movement going downtown. This, I think, does all that. And it's not something that we just pulled out there. Again, it's in the 2040 plan, and several communities already do this. I mean, Soldotna and Kenai have been doing this. Soldotna's had this program for since 2012, and they've had tremendous success from it. And they've been very helpful with getting this written up. The lady who is currently in charge of the program in Soldotna is also the same person that stood it up in Kenai, and she was tremendously helpful. I talked to her for a good hour the other day, and she sent me everything that she had on it and some of the success. And I forget what year it was, but they spent $132,000 and got almost $600,000 in investment in that, in their area. And they did it kind of the same way. They have a specific area that they're targeting. This program, you know, it would be for storefront improvements, you know, for facade improvements, as is called in the downtown plan, up to $50,000, we could use the unspent special projects bed tax revenue. So it's something that's, you know, it already fits in that, some of the money that's already been appropriated, and it fits into that category already. We figured that it'd probably be best to do a resolution rather than just doing this, just straight doing it through the mayor. We figured it'd be best to have a resolution so that the council has buy-in to it. Another thing that I've heard the council talk about quite a bit is that we need to have a better relationships and partnerships with different organizations. This is something that every organization that is involved downtown has been wanting to partner on. So the borough said that they want to partner on it. Explore Fairbanks wants to partner on it. They want to partner financially on it even. The Downtown Association, Fast Planning, the Chamber of Commerce, FEDC, they're all wanting to be partners on this. This could truly be a real community effort. And I think it's an appropriate thing to do. And again, if Sedona and Kenai can pull it off, I'm pretty sure the city of Fairbanks can as well.
Sue?
I don't know how much sway we need to make here in the council. I'd be curious just to see visual images, befores and afters. Is there anything to share like that?
Yes, actually there is. I know Mr. Lonnie asked for it earlier and I gave it to him. I will send it out to the entire council that, I believe it was, I forget which, it might have been Kenai. No, Sedona, I think, sent me a presentation of their befores and afters, and they're pretty good. Oh, so did Fort Wayne, Indiana. They also sent me their befores and afters, so.
I'd love to see that. Mm. Thank you.
Lonnie.
So have we, in your campaigning, have we reached out to TCC, Doyon, FNA?
No, I haven't. Yeah.
Should that be on our plan?
I mean, what's that?
It'd be wise to do that.
Yeah. I mean, if they're willing to actually,
you could just do your spill on.
Yeah, so the other night when they're talking about those meetings, we all have been reaching out for more than a year. We used to have routine meetings, and then they got abruptly cut off, and it's been radio silence ever since. But yeah.
John.
First to fifth, Turner to Noble, I guess I would ask that we think about, is that right? Do we want to move it a few blocks one way or the other? How inclusive, how big an area, what do we want? But so as you drive through town, look around and see what you think and see if that is the right, if we're going to put a specific area in, do we want to go all the way out to 10th or, whatever. So gives that some stuff.
Go ahead, Sue.
I think we were looking at the true downtown core that was kind of an agreed area. We could talk about other spaces, but we worked with existing core border, like where they do the parking enforcement. Or we could expand it.
Mike?
All the communities that have done this, they all suggested that we start. I asked them all for lessons learned, and lessons learned across the board was to start small on a specific area so that you can see that impact, and then spread it out. And I mean, it'd be nice if we could just go straight down Cushman, like that'd be awesome. But maybe we start here since it's already, it's already in the downtown plan. It's already got all the all the makings for this project to work well.
Valerie?
That's what I was gonna say. Let's start small, make it successful. I was at the downtown meeting and this was presented by Mike, and I think it got good support from the individuals in the Downtown Association meeting. And if we have the funds to do it, when can we get this started? So can we get anything done this summer?
Absolutely. I've already got you know, applications ready. You got, we're trying to have it set so that if you guys approve this on Monday, that we're ready to go next week and get that, you know, start accepting applications. Christoph and I would be on the evaluation team for the city, and then all those other partners that that I mentioned earlier would provide somebody else for the evaluation teams. Figure give them a, you know, have the applications out for a month, and then start doing our first, you know, first round then, and just keep going every month until those funds are expended.
Okay, go ahead, one more.
With the Polaris coming down and the traffic problems, this is really good if we can get it started. So while the you can't get near the courthouse or the Polaris, you know, people might decide this is the good time to clean up their storefront.
In the resolution itself, it doesn't talk about a 50-50 match, does it, or am I missing that?
We could definitely add it into the resolution itself. It is written into the program guidelines, though.
Okay, yeah, I think we need to see. I'd like to have that as a part of the resolution, if we could. Have some guidelines. Also, what match is expected. Whatever rules you have on the participation of the business or organization, what's expected of them. I don't know what that would be in the, your attachment there. But also the city source of funds, we're saying it's coming from Hotel Motel. Margarita, could you guide me in the general fund where that would be?
It's page 129, and it's object code 7202.
Room tax projects, and mm-hmm. we budgeted $350,000.
Uh-huh, yes.
Okay.
But this would be, we would use $250,000 of this, and I do have a fiscal note that will be presented with the resolution on Monday night.
Okay. So I just want to clear that our contribution to this is this fixed amount of money, and that once that's used up, it's done. I think that needs to be, I'd like to see that kind of spelled out in the resolution too.
I mean, realistically, I mean, when it's something we may want to do next year kind of thing. I mean, I wouldn't say it's when it's done and we're not going to do it again. People could get a plan this summer and want to do it next year, which would be on a different year's budget, right?
You've got the budget for it now.
Sunset
this thing.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't really sunset it, but really, I guess I'm not following you. How is it sunsetted?
Well, if this is a resolution that you're saying one time for this year, that would end the program at the end of the year.
Unless you cut that budget next year, it's not one-time money. But, Mike?
I had an idea about that. Actually, I think Margarita may have had this idea, not me. I can't remember. You know, every year we always have the funds that we sweep into the capital, which I think is a great idea. You know, maybe if this is successful this year, maybe we decide, you know, like, hey, that was, you know, that worked. You know, we've got, you know, we saw some noticeable change. You know, maybe we take a portion of that for next year out of that money, and like, hey, this is going to be the 26 funds for this program if it's something that's successful.
Valerie.
Mike, they fill out the application, it's approved. Does the application say it has to be done by December 31st of this year?
No, I don't think that's a realistic. I think we need to give them 1 year, and then with an option for a 6 month extension. That's what I've been pushing, and that's what all the other communities do as well.
Thank you. I think that's wise, given that it's almost summer.
Sue.
So I guess
the question is a logistical paperwork. Again, just back to, we're writing a resolution to use the money we have now. If we want to do it again next year, do we just do another resolution? Or how do we
Tom?
So the resolution would authorize the program essentially. Think of it like you have a car, and then you're putting gas every year into the car. So with the resolution, you have the authority to do it. The budget would come with your deliberations around the budget.
Thank you. Lonnie.
Well, I think this is a great PR for the city. But I think, Mike, I think I would like to see a copy of the application just to see how it's worded.
I will send everybody everything that we have on here.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you, Mike. This will be Monday. Yeah, if you could put some of those things in the resolution, I'd appreciate it. I mean, the general public's not going to know, like, the match requirements and things like that. If it's in the resolution, they'll read it, maybe. So, rather than read an attachment.
Right.
Let people know.
Yeah, I think what people will really read is once this is, assuming that it's approved, once it's approved, you know, when we start doing our, you know, our press conference about it, when we put it on our website, when we put it on Facebook and have everything out there, you know, flyers and all that, like, I think it's going to, I don't think there'll be any problem getting the word out about this one.
Okay. Lonnie.
Well, Mike touched on it, but Explore Fairbanks did come up with $50,000 towards this project. So that's a good bite.
Just as a final note, we own a business downtown. I owned the building. I sold it, but I carry a note on it. I'm going to be declaring a conflict. I feel very strongly that I should not be voting on this. The mayor may see otherwise, but I hope he acknowledges that. I take conflicts of interest very seriously, and I've got a lot to gain on that, I suppose, but I will be declaring that Monday night. So, okay. Valerie.
When we start doing the publicity for this, I think the Downtown Association has a really good list, so we could ask them to circulate it too.
Well, any one of them.
That's one of the things I asked all the partners was to, you know, help get the word out, help with marketing, and help with the evaluations.
Okay, we move on. Finance Committee report.
Hey, good morning, everyone. The Finance Committee met on April the 24th. We did a preliminary review of the annual audited statements that will be presented to the council at a work session on June the 9th, Monday, June the 9th, prior to your council meeting. They reviewed the target-based budgeting, the information that you were provided for the storefront improvement program. They supported that project. And we also discussed multi-year information technology subscriptions. We're beginning to see more of those coming in and how we should address those because they are crossing multiple years. And we were looking at the code as regards to when you appropriate funds, you're appropriating it from January to December. And the committee felt that paying with current funding for future service of years was allowable. So we have that, we addressed that particular issue. Regarding the financial reports as of March 31st, they reviewed the fund balance, the balance sheet, general fund balance sheet with a fund balance of 13.5 million. We had cash flow report with a balance of 34.4 million. And we have revenues of $11.1 million with expenditures of $11.8 million. I provided you a copy of the quarterly report, and I'll go over that after I finish this meeting report that you have before you. They also started the discussion of the goal of increasing non-tax revenue by 10% over 3 years. And our next meeting will be May the 22nd. We'll take a look at a preliminary budget amendment at that meeting, talk a little bit about capital fund, continue our discussion on the goals of trying to increase revenue. We're really looking at the fee schedule, and we'll start introducing some of the other suggestions that we had. So that'll be at our meeting on May 22nd. Okay, on the second page you have is a year-to-date budget report for and with three prior years. As of March 31st, as I mentioned earlier, revenues were at $11.1 million. Majority of our funds were either on target or exceeding the target, except for fines and forfeiture. And we're hoping that, you know, the auctions that we hold in late spring and summer will improve that line item in the budget, that line item category, I should state. Regarding expenditure side, we were at $11.8 million. Majority of the departments were on target. Those that were below target were it had something to do with personnel. We had a few that exceeded the target, and it's basically due to other costs, that such as equipment transfers and contractual costs. But I think when we get to the end of the year, they should still be fine and within the amount appropriated. Regarding the other financing sources, we're on target in all categories. We're not expecting to do the transfer from the permanent fund until December. Again, you know, we're on target with our auctions handling being held late in spring and summer. So overall, we're looking at a fund balance of 13 point close to 5 million. That is still above our minimum required balance of 10 million. And that is my report.
Thank you, Margarita. Any questions for that? I suppose it's about the IDT department and how high above the expectation that is, right?
No, I just wanted to comment that we also had our permanent fund board meeting and talking about trying to increase revenue by 10%. The company that is helping us wants us to get into private equity, but unfortunately, legally, I don't think we can do it. And we'll present that information. We'd have to become a different entity to do that, and quite a bit of legal problems. And Paul Ewers had presented that information to the council many years ago, and Margarita brought that up again. But we'll talk a little bit more about that next Monday. Yeah. Yeah, we can present a report on Monday, but I don't think that's an option for us.
Why is that, Valerie? Because of the limitation of our charter or because of what we are?
Margarita, maybe you could explain just a little bit more briefly.
In order to add private equity, they're planning to present different variations of private investments. But with the private equity, we have to become a partner of that entity. Some of the reasons why the Permanent Fund Review Board had concerns about it is, first of all, it's long-term. You will not see a return for at least 10 to 20 years. The second concern of it is that we would be a partnership. We felt that would be, when Mr. Ewers reviewed that, that meant that we would have to have the voters, because there's some sort of kind of risk that we're taking. So there will be some changes in not only the permanent fund and within the charter, but you're kind of asking the public if we want to take on that type of risk. So that would be a vote of the people, which would require 70% of the majority. And so there were there's also some complexities in the accounting of private equity. There are some municipalities are doing that. North Slope, and I've talked to them, and Municipality of Anchorage are two. One of the things, in, as far as the complexity in accounting, is there is a delay in the reporting of when you have any type of earning on these funds. And that meant that that would delay our auditing process by almost 4 months because of the fact that you're not informed of what type of earnings until 4 months later. It's a delay in it. But in our July Permanent Fund Review Board meeting, they are planning to get more information because now they state that there's not only private equity, but now there's private debt and private credit. And there might be some other avenues that we can take. But that was the mechanism that we felt that would bring that permanent fund portfolio to a 7.5% return. That would be the next step to bring it to that level.
The 70% requirement, I thought that was only for spending the corpus of the fund.
It says, I think it requires any changes in that, and that any changes in the permanent fund, kind of any sections of that charter change would require.
I'll have to read that again. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Valerie.
So if we were to get into private equity, let's say we wanted to give them $10 million, they would take that $10 million, but they probably wouldn't invest more than $1 million each year, if I understand right. And we would be beholden to them to not spend that $10 million, and then they could take their time to do it, and it'll
correct.
Be a long time before we see
any returns.
Right, right.
Stuff can take 10 to 20 years. It's when you invest in that type of asset class, you're talking about a long term.
And just a thought, maybe Margarita, when we have that meeting, maybe we could invite the council so they can, because I think it's a really important issue for the council to look at, and maybe we could have the rest of the council come and just have it as a regularly scheduled meeting for the council, too.
Okay, we're to council member comments. Crystal, let's start with you.
I have some bad news about our shirts. I'm not sure they're going to make it. I've been emailing and trying to get a hold of them, and it's not looking good. So I'm still have my fingers crossed.
So we dress, dress
our
ourselves.
Event, we may have to dress ourselves. Yes. I know.
I'm just bragging about them to the assembly.
I know.
I could see how many bowling shirts I have, but you're all going to flip
along.
You're going to have
a lot. I would wear it. I would do it. I'd love it.
Lonnie.
And they're all ballers. So
that's okay.
Okay. Well, thank you for trying. Lonnie?
If you don't mind the sponsors on the 5172, I'd like to add my name to that, please.
Is that it?
That's it.
Okay, John, nothing? Chris, or Sue?
This one? I have a question for Public Works. I got an email, and I think you did too, Valerie, about the Cushman Street. And he mentioned a list of things like birch trees missing, broken tree grates, the power, stubs are knocked down around. Do we have a list of things like that to do this summer to correct? Because it is an eyesore. I know we're working on the candlestick lights as a potential project, but there's more to it, right?
Yeah, there's more to it, and most of that would be down in engineering. Engineering would be taking care of the electrical and stuff like that, and getting it's kind of engineering and Public Works, because then they send us and we go out, and there was a project to fix a bunch of those 2 years ago, I believe it was.
The candle lamps?
No, not the candle lamps, the plug-ins that are
okay.
That are in those bases that get ruined in the wintertime.
Is that from snow removal? What's going on there?
Yeah, some of that's from snow removal, the equipment on the sidewalk. And they try their best, but sometimes when they're buried under snow, you don't know it's there until, whoops.
What about missing trees? What happens there?
The missing trees, those just get broken out, and those are, I believe, scheduled to be replaced, but I can look into that for you.
Okay, I just wanted to answer.
They get broke off. And
I'm sure of it. People I just hope to think that we chase that stuff down. Okay, good.
Yeah, I can look into that and get back to you on that.
Thank you. I would also ask the fire chief if we've got our fire truck back yet.
Jim also stayed there. I've got a question.
Hey, Jeremiah, yeah, why don't you stay up here?
Oh, sorry. Oh, sorry.
No, I just want him to stay. Oh, okay.
They both can come up. There's multiple microphones.
There's a lot going on here.
I'll just hang out with Mike and sit next to him. That's not a problem. So our spare platform, I think, is what you're referring to. That's been back. It had a pump issue when it came back. Public Works worked through that for us. And it's currently in reserve status. If we need it to be frontline, it's ready to go. So it's back.
But it's back home.
Yay. It's back home.
Fantastic. Thank you.
Is there a market for that?
If we weren't in Alaska, yes. The problem is most of your buyers are going to be in the lower 48. They don't want to ship it down there. But when our current first out platform gets ready to be replaced, then in theory, that third platform would be out for auction or sale.
Might just stay there for a second. Are you done soon?
I was just going to throw a question towards the... Thank you for asking. The PR for the bowling, is there any PR going on to us?
It's in the paper.
It is? I didn't read the paper today. Fantastic. Good. Thank you.
You got to read that fine print, though.
Is it tiny? It's tiny, huh?
We have to pay for those notices.
Yeah. I know, but gosh darn it. This could have been splashy. Could have been wild. All right. Thank you.
Okay, Valerie?
Yes, I was driving down Cushman yesterday, and the cleaner had stopped in front of the old bank. Were they cleaning up the mess that's on those steps every day? I thought that's maybe what they were doing. If so, thank you.
The cleaner, I'm not understanding.
Well, the sweeper?
Oh, the big broom, the big street sweeper?
Right. He was staying in front of the steps to the old Wells Fargo Bank, where there's always clutter and stuff from the people. Was he cleaning that up while he was? If so, thank you. I don't know.
I'm not sure. I can get back with you on that one, too. I think he probably may have just stopped for a moment to check a map or check something out and then proceeded on.
Somebody cleans those stairs every day. Is it Public Works or...
Not that I know of. I would never have directed our guys to do private property cleaning because that'd be private property.
Oh, okay. Because it is an eyesore every morning after everybody sleeps there.
That one right over here?
Yeah, on Cushman.
There's a bunch of street people.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, okay. I thought maybe he was stopping to clean that, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Crystal, I found a coach for our bowling team. My good friend Carla Sullivan is going to be there to help us make sure we put our arms straight when we're bowling. And she took me bowling on Saturday night. And I didn't make 75 on either game.
It's not a good outcome.
But she had I did have one strike and one spare. That's and Carla had a 180. So, you know, she'll be a good coach for us. And I just thought I should let you know. And hopefully we'll get our shirts.
Okay. 8th Avenue, is that contract been let for that street this year? Do we know? Through engineering?
I don't remember there being one that's this year for 8th Avenue. I'd have to...
It's through fast planning, but I would engineering is going to be overseeing it. So
what's happening?
Fixing the road.
From where to where?
I think it's from Cowles. No, not Cowles. Cowles to Barnett or something like that. It's where Valerie used to live.
We see in numbers.
You know, I'm gonna bring. I don't know what's in there. We did. Yeah.
About 2 years ago, maybe.
Do you need me to pull it up now? Is that?
Yeah, they were looking for the locations of that, and I think it's in that resolution.
I guess what would be nice is to at the Shannon Park thing. Is that scheduled for any council work session?
The selling property thing, or
well, no, just an overview of all the property we own over there, what we're doing with it, what we expect to do with it. It's not just necessarily to sell it, to bring us to educate us as to what's going on there.
The stuff that I sent you is the only thing that I know of, sir. I know that, like, I keep hearing that there's all this land that we can get rid of over there. I mean,
yeah, I don't think there's any land over there that you're talking about.
No, I'd asked for it about a month or two ago to have a work session with engineering on the Shannon Park property and the land, what we're doing with it, what our purposes are. There's a lot of things changing over there with the Johansson and that project and buying out properties with the churches. I know Jeff Whipple used to talk about some areas there that could possibly be sold. Whether that's still true or not, I do not know. I just want to know what's going on. I'd like to have, you know, Bob and Jeff there.
Mr. Clearworth, you, for the last 6 months or so, you keep asking me, and I went to Jeff, I went to Bob, I've gone to Jeremiah. I don't know what else there is. There's our snow dump, and then there's
We haven't seen it. You've seen it. I haven't seen it.
Mr. Clearworth definitely has. The
rest of us have. He asked to bring the council.
Don't get
defensive.
I'm not trying to get defensive. I'm just saying I don't know what else. Like, we can have a work session on, okay.
I just want to have an overview from Bob and Jeff what's going on, what the future is for the plan, and what we're using it for currently. Nothing to get upset over. No. It's just an education for us.
Yeah. Jerry, I had the same thought as when David was talking. I mean, I don't even know what buildings we're insuring. We're spending a couple million bucks. I mean, we've got a bunch of buildings. We've got a bunch of equipment. Collectively, I don't know.
That would be good info.
I mean, we're paying somebody to insure stuff that we don't even know what it is. I mean, I should at least, I feel like I should know. Yeah. We're hired to oversee that. Well,
okay.
We get to oversee it.
I think we need to see what this bill is going to look like. If this is sticker shock on it, then I think it's incumbent on us and the staff to take a look at the properties we have and see if we can whittle that down. Like he was saying, other municipalities do kind of a hybrid where they self-insure some things and they use AML or whatever they're using for the other. So we have that option to do, and we can take a look at that. But and possibly, Mike, at the same meeting to have with the fast planning improvement projects this summer, we can get an overview too. Wouldn't you all find that helpful? Okay. And can we schedule that at our next work session then, please? Sue?
Jerry, did you follow up any further with the Mini Street Bridge people? And we had that conversation very briefly.
I haven't yet. We haven't met. We're meeting here in a week or so, and I intend to dig into it more.
Thank you.
My guess is DOT has their list of priorities, and that wasn't on there, and they didn't put it on there. And we asked them why. Then you're going to get into the engineering aspects of it. They're going to say, well, it's not necessary right now. We've got bigger priorities or this or that. I'll find out. But it never came up in discussions with the TIP. And we just went through that here through a two-month laborious process. So
I think there's stuff going on there is all.
Yeah. I will find that out. I promised you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah. Valerie.
mentioning my old house, I think we need to add 779 8th Avenue to the abandoned property list, because I drove by there yesterday, and there is just garbage in the driveway. It's totally trash. It's not the house I lived in for 35 years. It's just awful.
Your old house?
My old house, you should drive by there.
I drive by there every day.
And there's so much stuff in the driveway and
everything.
Oh, yeah. But 779 8th Avenue.
That's okay. We're going to redo the street.
Uh-huh. Well, that, you know, I just think, I'm wondering if it's abandoned now. That's what it looks like, because the grass grew higher than the fence 2 years in a row, and I don't think there's anybody living there. It looks awful. Yeah.
Question for council. You know, I was asking for a work session to have these things on there. Would you prefer it to be at a regular council meeting under mayor's comments to have the staff? No. Okay. We'll leave it at that. I am done.
I'm sorry. I missed what you guys said. Yes
or no?
Yeah.
I think we have better conversation.
Yeah, I agree.
All right. Anything else? If not, we're at adjournment. Thank you.